God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I'm very grateful to be here at the Heart Street Church of Christ here in the city of Nashville, Tennessee. It's always a great honor and a great privilege to be in Nashville and to be with the saints who meet here at this congregation. I'm very thankful to the elders and to your wonderful and commendable minister for extending to me this opportunity to stand in his place on this morning. You're truly blessed to have a wonderful minister. Amen. A man of God who loves the Lord, who cares about the church. And I've learned, brothers and sisters, that that's one of the most important ingredients to having a good minister, someone who cares about the church. Because someone has said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is certainly true of your minister. He's someone who cares about the Lord and cares about this church. I'm grateful to God for blessing me to travel safely from Texas, me and my family to travel safely from Texas to Tennessee and to be with you. I'm grateful to have my family with me. And not just my family, but I have my mother-in-law and a sister-in-law and brother-in-law who's here this morning. And if y'all don't mind, I'm going to just ask them to stand very quickly. Is that okay? Amen. They're on this row right here. All right. Two rows. Amen. 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 Very grateful to have them. My mother-in-law lives in Gallatin, Tennessee, and she's here with us on this morning. I know that I speak for this congregation when I say to those who are visiting with us today, you are a very special and honored guest. And please do not let this be your last time coming to be with the members here at the Heart Street Church of Christ, the church where everybody is somebody. Amen? Amen. And God is everything. I promise not to keep you as long as Whitney Houston kept Bobby Brown. Is that all right? Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, please open them up to the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 35 and ending with verse number 43. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 43 and ending with verse 35 and ending with verse number 43. And if you have it, or almost have it, please let me know by saying amen. And the word of God reads as follows. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. This blind man was probably Bartimaeus. He's not mentioned by name in Luke 18, but in Mark chapter 10, he's mentioned by name. Verse 36. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Amen. Luke chapter 18, verses number 35 through 43. And for just a short time this morning, please consider with me the subject, Some Things a Blind Man Saw. Some Things a Blind Man Saw. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell him or her that some things a blind man saw? In today's narrative, Jesus meets a blind man who desired to receive his sight. Jesus gave this man what he desired. He gave him what he needed. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is still able to meet our needs today. If you believe that, it's all right to say amen. For Scripture says that Jesus Christ is the same when, yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Just as Jesus gave this blind man his physical sight, Jesus can still give people their spiritual sight today. Am I right about it? There are millions of blind folk in the world today. I'm not talking about those who are necessarily physically blind, but I'm talking about those who are spiritually blind. Even today, there are those who cannot see certain things. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, but if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden from those who are lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should what? Shine in unto them. For the God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of those who will not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. So even today, there are those who are spiritually blind. Some folk can't see that there is a true and living God. Some folk can't see their need for Almighty God. There are some folk today who can't see that Jesus is the answer for the world's problems today. Some folk can't see that there is but one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Some people cannot see that there is but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Some folk can't see that Jesus does not need them. Instead, they are the ones who need the Lord. But I'm so glad that this blind man saw some things. I know it sounds contradictory, but this blind man actually saw four things that changed his life forever. He didn't see those things with his physical eyes. Instead, he saw them with the eyes of faith. Some things a blind man saw. The first thing he saw was his need for the Lord. He first saw his need for Jesus. For notice the text, if you will, verse number 38, where he called out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. How many of us need some mercy this morning? The fact that we showed up today is indicative of the fact that we realize our need for the Lord. Am I right about it? The story goes that this blind man sat by the road begging, but all of a sudden he heard noise and commotion, and he wanted to know what was going on. So people told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. This blind beggar had doubtless heard how Jesus had given healing to the sick, sight to the blind, cleansing to the lepers, deliverance to the captives, hope to the hopeless, and help to the helpless. Thus he concluded, there is no secret in what God can do. What God has done for others, that same God is able to do for me. This man realized he needed God's deliverance, God's compassion, God's grace, God's mercy, God's power, God's salvation, God's help, and God's healing. And the question this morning is, when are people today going to realize their need for the Lord? Too many people are trying to fix their own financial problems. Some of you perhaps here this morning, you're trying to fix your own financial problems, your own job-related problems, your own health, your own spiritual problems. I'm telling you, you cannot fix your problems all by yourself. We all need Jesus. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 15 and verse number 5. You can help me quote it. I am the vine, and what? You are the branches. He who what? Abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth what? Much fruit. For without me, Jesus says what? You can do nothing. Brothers and sisters, when we try to fix our problems by ourselves, that's just like a man who has a broken leg who says that, well, I'm going to stay at home and try to fix it myself, and maybe I'll go to the hospital. Like, that doesn't make sense. Am I right about it? That's why we need God. That's why we need the church. We come to the church for healing. We come to Dr. Jesus to fix us up, and then we go back home and minister to people at home and to the world. Some things a blind man saw. First of all, he saw his need for Jesus. The second thing he saw that he needed to use what he had. He saw that he had to use what he had to see Jesus. This blind beggar had a physical malady. He had a physical handicap. He could not see. Even though he could not see, even though he was unable to use his eyes, this blind man used what he had. He used his ears, am I right about it? To hear the rustle and bustle of the crowd. He used his hands to feel the commotion and excitement in the air. He used his legs to walk toward Jesus. And then he used his mouth to get the master's attention. I think there's a lesson in that for all of us this morning. Just because you have a physical handicap, just because you have a physical malady, does not mean that you cannot be blessed by God. And it does not mean that you cannot be a blessing to other folk. Am I right about? Look at Moses. Moses, the Bible teaches us, had a speech impediment, yet God used him in a mighty way. How many of you have heard of Helen Keller, who became blind and deaf at the age of 2, yet she went on to graduate from a prestigious school and then help many other people? Ray Charles, oh yes, we know the song Georgia on My Mind. And then You Got the Right One, Baby. Y'all know that. Y'all know what I'm talking about this morning. Stevie Wonder, the masterful magician. I just called to say I love you. I remember serving a church in Mississippi, and this lady who contracted an illness and became blind, but that didn't stop her from fixing some delicious meal. She could put together some okra and some homemade dressing and cornbread and spaghetti and pork chops and, oh, am I making you hungry this morning? Turnip greens and pig feet and ribs. This lady was blind, but she blessed all of the members of the church. And whenever preachers came through, she blessed their lives as well. What are you saying? Brothers and sisters, learn to use what you have. You may not be able to preach like Peter. You might not be able to sing like Paul. But give the Lord what you have. You might not be the best preacher. You might not be the best song leader. But I'm here to tell you, give the Lord what you have. You can be a supporter of the preacher. You can be a supporter of the song leader. Somebody has said, if you can't sing bass, tenor, soprano, or alto, just sing also. Is that all right? Give the Lord what you have. Everybody has something to use for the edification of the church and for the glorification of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse number 11, the Bible says, if any man speaks, let him what? Speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it with the ability that God gives him. Why? So that God in all things might be glorified. Amen. So this man saw that he had to use what he had. The third thing he saw is that he saw that he had an opportunity to meet Jesus. He saw that he had an opportunity to meet Jesus. This blind beggar understood that this might have been his last chance to see Dr. Jesus. Indeed, this was his last opportunity to meet Jesus for himself. Why? Because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, where he was going to die for the sin of the world. That's why he did not let what people said about him stop him from hooking up with Jesus. Look at the text again, if you will. Verse number 38, the Bible says, verse 37, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He called out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. That's the way folk are in the church today. Shh, don't get too excited. Don't say amen. Don't get too emotional. Help me, somebody. Amen. But it's amazing when the Tennessee Titans are on television. Amen. And when our favorite basketball team, we get all riled up over things that will not matter in the final roundup of human affair. But when it comes to praising God, for some reason, we want orthodoxy. We want quietness. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, Have mercy on me. Brothers and sisters, if this blind man had to depend on the multitude to get to Jesus, he perhaps would have never met Jesus for himself. And I'm going to tell you that sometimes you have sophisticated, educated, and dignified folk who always want you to be quiet. But brothers and sisters, when it comes to meeting Jesus, don't let anybody stand in your way. Jesus, have mercy on me. But this man, I'm glad about it. I'm glad that he did not keep quiet, because he knew that Jesus could change his life. He knew that Jesus could change his destiny. He knew that Jesus could change his future forever. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let people shut you up about the Lord. When you know that God has been good to you, when you know that God has done something for you, don't ever be ashamed to praise his name. Am I right about it? If you know God has put shoes on your feet, clothes on your back, food on your table, a roof over your head, you remember when the Lord made a way when there was no way? I'm here to tell you, when you know so, don't let anybody stop you from praising God. Is that all right this morning? When you know that it was God who brought you out of that emergency room, you know that it was God who brought you out of intensive care, the doctors gave up on you, but here you are sitting up in this audience, you ought to thank God for that. Is that all right this morning? Don't let anybody legislate your praise when you know God has done something for you, when you know he can do something for you. I thank God for this man, because he got the Lord's attention. Verse number 40 says, and Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him. Here's another thing that this man realized, and I'm wrapping up for this morning. He realized that there was something in a name. He saw that there was something in a name, because he didn't say, Peter, have mercy on me. He didn't say that. Am I right about it? He didn't say, John, have mercy on me, or James, help me out here. He said, no, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew that there was something in a name. He knew that there was healing in the name of Jesus. He knew that there was power in the name of Jesus. He knew that there was strength in the name of Jesus. He knew that there was salvation in the name of Jesus. He knew that there was security in the name of Jesus. He knew that there was serenity in the name of Jesus. How many of you believe this morning that Jesus is the sweetest and greatest and most powerful name any tongue can utter? Is that all right this morning? I know that there's something in a name. I know this firsthand, because I remember doing a workshop for a congregation in Decatur, Illinois. I'll never forget this. I had performed a weekend workshop for them, and this brother at the end of the workshop, he gave me my check, and I just told him thank. I took the check, put it in my pocket, and I told him thank you. And when I went to deposit the check on Monday morning, I opened the check up, and now y'all know my name. My name is Edward Robinson. Is that right? Well, on the check, the name, I kid you not, it said Wilfie Robinson. Wilfie Robinson. And when I tried to deposit that check, the lady said, yes, I know you, Mr. Robinson, but I cannot deposit this check, because this is not your name. Brothers and sisters, I almost spoke in tongues. And I'm not talking about holy tongues. Help me, somebody. I don't believe in speaking. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They knew my name was not. I'd been with them two or three days. Wilfie, I don't look like no Wilfie. Maybe Wolfie, but not Wilfie. Are y'all with me this morning? I could not do anything with that check, because that was not my name. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? A lot of folks say today, oh, there's nothing in a name. It doesn't matter whose name you call upon. Brothers and sisters, that is a lie. There is something in a name, and I'm here to tell you, there's a whole lot in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a song we often sing. There is a name I love to hear. I love to what? Sing its worth. It sounds like what? Music to my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Brothers and sisters, that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and around verse number 13, whosoever therefore shall call upon what? The name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. But you got to do more than call on the name of the Lord. Amen. For the Bible says, how shall we call on him in whom we have not believed? And how shall we believe on him in whom we have not heard? And how shall we hear without a preacher? Amen. And how shall he preach unless he is sent? Ladies and gentlemen, there is salvation in the name of Jesus. And when we talk about the name of Jesus, we're talking about the person of Jesus Christ himself. This blind man saw four things. He first of all saw his need for Jesus. Second of all, he saw that he had to use what he had in order to meet Jesus for himself. Thirdly, he saw an opportunity to meet the Lord, and he didn't want to waste it. And then fourth and finally, this blind man saw that there was something in a name. Ladies and gentlemen, in conclusion, don't let your opportunities pass you by. If you know you need to come to Jesus this morning, don't waste your time. Don't hesitate. Now is the time. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you when? This day, whom you will serve, whether it be the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, or the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 2, the Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3 and verse 7, today if you what? Hear my voice, harden not your heart. James chapter 4 verses 14 and 15, whereas we do not know what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even what? A vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Brothers and sisters, tomorrow is not promised. Today is all we have. If you need to come to Jesus, you come by hearing the word, believing what you've heard, repenting of your sins, confessing the name of Christ, and by being immersed in waters of baptism for the remission of sin, and the Lord will add you to his church. He'll add you to his family. If you're already part of God's family, but perhaps you're going through some storms in your life, and perhaps you need prayer, this invitation is for you as well. I believe there's power in prayer. Is that right? The Bible says in James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one to another, pray you one for another that you may be healed. For the fervent, effectual prayer, what kind of man? A righteous man availeth much. If you need to come, you need to respond this morning. This invitation is open for you this morning. Come on right now as together we stand and sing.
Let us haste, oh haste, to the brink, where there's a fount of love from the source above, and within the all freely bring. Where will you come? Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come?
Will there be one? God bless you. Someone else this morning. Young man, what about you this morning? God bless you. Young lady, what about you today? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. God is able. God is able. May God bless you. Someone else needs to come. If you need somebody to walk with you, just ask the person next to you. Come on this morning. You need to rededicate your life to the Lord. This invitation is for you this morning. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. The Lord is calling for you. Don't look at your neighbor. Look into your own heart. Where do you stand with God today? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Where will you come? It's not too late. It's not too late if you need to come. The Lord is calling for you. The Lord is calling for you. Will you come? 'Tis for you. Where thirsty soul, hear the way. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. It's not too late. It's not too late.
There's a rust that has cleft, and no soul is left. Dead may not is pure watershed.
It's not too late if you need to come. You're standing in need of prayer this morning. God is greater than your problems. Regardless of what you're going through, the Lord is able. The Lord is able to do anything but fail. Give him a chance this morning. You tried everything else. Try Jesus.
Will you come?
Will the fountain? Will you come? Will you come? A tis for you. You may be seated. May God bless you. Will you? It's not too late. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. May God bless you. Someone else needs to come.